TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives.
Welcome to Love Life, featuring your hosts, Rebecca Detman and Jane Donovan.
The sun shines bright as it moves across my face. I feel the light.
I honor and love the goddess within.
Welcome to Love Life. I'm Rebecca Detman.
And I'm Jane Donovan.
And we are very excited this show to have our second ever guest interview. We are very, very selective.
I'm very excited.
Very selective with who we allow, whose energy we allow into this circle. And we have someone today who is really the high priestess. She is really, we are so lucky in South Australia. She's squirming in her seat to have Diane McCann with us today. If anyone is listening from Adelaide, you'll be nodding going, oh, Diane McCann. Yes, both Jane and I have actually heard about Diane, well, probably... Diane's just made the joke that she's, you know, she's been teaching for longer than I've been alive, which is probably true. Diane is, she's a certified lifeline practitioner, and more on that later, but she's been teaching a seminar called The Goddess Within for 27 years. And with her husband, Robert, she's also been doing Tantra for couples for 25 years and man's inner journey. So we wanted to bring her in today to talk about the masculine, the feminine, the alpha, the beta, the yin, the yang, and all the other things that she's seen unfold over the past quarter century with the dance that men and women are doing, and perhaps where maybe where women and men are lacking in their spirituality or in where they're feeling hollow inside, Dan. What are they needing? So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where do we begin?
There's a song called that. No, but I'm not going to sing
it. Don't sing it. Okay.
Well, I guess we begin at the very beginning, yes? And for me, the beginning for everything and for everyone is that most people are looking for someone out there to fill them up.
To complete them, right? Mm.
And there is no such thing, really. I mean, the only way any of us are ever going to be complete, regardless of what sex we are, is through loving who we are. And that's the place to start. And I see it all the time with women who don't love who they are. They don't like something about themselves. Not so prevalent with men, but nevertheless, let's start with women. They think that they're too short or they're too fat or they're too ugly or they're not beautiful enough or whatever words they want to put around the mask that they put on. And so therefore, if you can only love yourself 60% when you're with another human being, that's all you can let in. It's like you can't let 100% love in if you don't love yourself 100%. It's kind of like a funnel. Yeah.
I love that.
But we're sold this awful myth in Western society.
Not just in Western society,
well, no,
darling.
Hollywood society.
Everywhere, the world over.
Archetypes, fairy tales.
You complete me to become one,
Jeremy,
you know,
yes.
Please.
Yes.
Oh, look,
please.
As a matchmaker, that drives me insane.
Well, it's nuts because you're never going to, all you're going to do when you fall in love, and I hate that word, I have a mentor called Dr. Buckminster Fuller. He used to say orbit in love.
Orbit in love.
Because oh, I like that.
You need to be whole within yourself in order to create somebody else. And then you can just orbit in love, like two circles intermingling, yeah?
Yes.
But when you are dependent upon someone else to complete you, as you say, if you think about... imagine that you and I are standing here and we're leaning into each other with our hands and I walk away. What happens to you? You fall over
and get levelled.
And yeah, absolutely. And people out there in the relationship world get levelled all the time. And so we have to start with self-love. That's where it all begins.
It's wonderful that you say that because we've done, what, over 60 podcasts on this show and every single one of them comes back to self-love. It's at the root of all of our podcasts, isn't it?
The foundation stone, isn't it, Diane?
So you didn't need me here.
No. Oh,
yes, we do. You know, this is the beautiful thing is that, you know, we could have 20 amazing people that are all speaking on exactly the same topic, all going to use total different language, total different tools. And the idea being that, see, it always makes me laugh. Somebody sits there and goes, well, that one was a bit full of shit. That one was crap. But that one over there really made sense because you're talking that language for
absolutely.
That person. And I love that. That's exciting. So. Yeah. And I know that we have so much to learn from you because Diane was sharing just before, Beck, that she ran her first workshop.
I attended your first workshop. When I was 13.
13.
13 years old.
So how blessed were you to start on a self-development journey so young?
Yeah. I didn't have a choice. I was raped at 11.
Oh,
and so
ouch.
What I, well, yes, then, but now, what a gift.
Yes.
And then it was, I had no one to talk to and I didn't know what to do with my, with what happened. So funnily enough, I caught a tram into the city, hadn't been here very long. One got off at the wrong stop, finished up in the Theosophical Society in King William Street, and that was the start of my spiritual journey because
wonderful.
I started hanging out there every Saturday afternoon and learning, and to this day I'm still learning. So while I'm not teaching around the world, because Goddess and Man's Inner Journey and Tantra are held in various places.
Well, we have an international listenership, so that's fantastic. Great. So, and you have on your website, I assume, all of the dates of where you're travelling to and what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, basically that was my beginning. And so last weekend I ran Goddess in Adelaide, and the two weekends before that I brought in an amazing woman from Hong Kong who taught something else. So I sat in the class with my tongue hanging out, learning from her.
And if you've been teaching Goddess Within for quarter of a century, more than 27 years, have you seen change in terms of the types of women who are presenting and what their issues are? Has that shifted?
Yes, women are in the main more educated, because one of my passions is I really don't care what you do with your life as long as you are educated about what you do, and that means I want to know that you know that when you put chewing gum in your mouth, you are filling your body with aspartame. I want to know that you understand that.
Right.
I don't care that you do it, because life is about choice. I would prefer that you didn't, but I'm not your mother. I can't say, don't do that. Stop drinking that particular brand of,
cola.
Diet. Yes, yes, that one. I can't say that, but what I can do is educate women so they know. So I spend like an hour to an hour and a half in my course on a Saturday talking to people about a huge range of health issues and, you know, what is in the products that you consume. So women are more educated today about that than they were then. A lot of people do know a lot of the stuff that I talk about in that health section.
Yes.
But not everyone.
Yeah.
And not everyone really actually does anything about it, which is even more amazing. Like, they know that it's not good for them, but they think, well, you know, if I have the odd cola drink or the odd stick of chewing gum, it's not really going to hurt me. And what they don't understand is the domino effect. So you have enough of anything, and it's that one little extra sip that will make the trigger that will trigger a whole range of health issues.
Yeah.
And having been very, very close to death three times, I'm very, you know, very well versed in health areas. So on that level, on the health area, yes, they are more educated now than they were 27 years ago, but then so too am I. But the basic essence of life is the same. Women still don't understand their own patterns. They don't know. They really think that the world happens to them.
Yeah.
Still, to this day,
yeah.
they do not have the understanding that they are the creator of everything that happens in their life. They don't. Many of them have never heard of quantum physics. I mean, that's a scary word, isn't it?
You know? Oh, I love quantum physics. Ellie.
So do I, darling. But, you know, the majority of people out there are like, quantum what? You know? Mm. So they haven't read Bruce Lipton. They don't understand. So, you know, they see something like Angelina Jolie having her breasts removed and they go,
yes.
Oh, yes, well, I would do the same thing. Mm. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, please start looking at your world, you know. If you live a life of fear, you're going to create fearful situations around you. You know, everything that we think is a reflection of what goes on in our lives, and what goes on in our lives is a reflection of what we think in our head, so we sure better change it.
I find it amazing, Diane, that these quite mainstream, what I'd call asleep or switched off people, are actually finding you and connecting with that word goddess and coming in the door, because
yes.
Normally it's a bit of a leap to go from that to spiritual.
People don't generally come because they read an ad, which is why I don't do much advertising. People come because of word of mouth.
Okay.
I had a lady on the weekend who said to me, she came because of a friend. She said, my friend recommended that I come and do your course. I said, wonderful. She said, can you send me the curriculum? I said, the curriculum is trust. The whole curriculum is based on trust and love. If you want to come, come.
Go, Diane.
I mean, you know, what am I going to say? Well, at 9 o'clock we do this, then at 10 o'clock we do that.
Yeah.
It's like a tapestry that just gets woven, you know, and the colours get woven into it, and the healing gets woven into it, and the education gets woven into it. And before people know it, at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, they're going home, going, what happened to today? You know, hopefully with more knowledge.
I've watched so many people I know that have attended your course, the Goddess Within, and they just have such massive shifts from that, you know. And it is about that, the teaching of that conscious awareness that they're creating their own reality. And when you can get that key in and have it happen,
yeah,
and that light bulb goes off, it's so exciting to watch.
And it really doesn't take much, you know, because we are so battered by everything out there, by the world that we look at, by our lives and what we don't have, by our relationships, you know, by everything that happens, that we have no clue what's really going on inside our own heart and inside our own mind.
Do you find that your students, once they have that aha moment, that wake-up moment, that they really are then excited? Like, I guess there's fear of, oh, my gosh, I've created all of this in my life, all of this mess in my life. But they also have that moment of empowerment of, you know what, I actually can flip this around and create exactly the same in the positive.
Absolutely. And that's what happens. I mean, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of women have gone through Goddess. And, you know, I'm very proud to say that the majority of them, not all of them, but the majority of them, literally turn their lives around. And, you know, they say they feel as though they've come home because it's the first time they've ever really been comfortable in their skin, you know, and they're seeing things through the eyes of a different perception. So they're looking at the world as if to say, wow, what an amazing lesson I got from that experience, whatever that experience happens to be.
So is there one sort of fundamental thing that it all boils down to, or to put it another way, if there was one thing you wish every woman could know, what would it be, Diane?
And to love yourself. It's not that hard.
Let's go back
to the very beginning, you know. It's like if we can understand that we are the director, the producer, the actor of our own movie, and that every single thing that we create in our lives is part of our script, and that we, if we don't like it, we can rewrite that script, you know, and understand that if we love ourselves enough. See, a lot of people are addicted to struggle. It sounds really weird, but people love the drama.
Yeah.
They do. They love it. You know, like people ring me up. I have a lot of drama queens in my life. I adore every one of them, but they know if they ring me, they're going to get slap therapy over the phone because I'll play along with...
Slap therapy, I love it.
Well, you know, it's like there's only so many times you can hear the same story, isn't there?
Yes,
you know,
that's right. Well, well, then you're the enabler.
Absolutely, and I don't enable. You know, I have a saying, came from a seminar that I promoted with Robert Kiyosaki for 9 years, and the saying is, friends are people who ask more of you than you do. And if you're in my life and you're my friend, you better believe I'm going to call you on your stuff. And what I expect is people do the same with me.
Right.
Which they do, which I'm very grateful for. I don't know that I always listen, but, you know, it's great that they do it.
You have a high bar for friendship.
I have a very high bar for friendship, you know, and it's like the people in my life know that what we want is authentic relationships. And you can't have an authentic relationship while you're just going, oh, you poor thing. Oh, that is so terrible that that happened to you. Nothing happens to you. You know, things happen because that's what we need to learn at this given moment.
It's how you choose to react.
And it's how you react to it. Absolutely.
So when you get these women that say, but how do I love myself, Diane? How do I do that? What do you mean? What do you say?
Start by looking in the mirror. Start by looking in those beautiful eyes. I say to women sometimes when I look at them and I'm looking into their eyes, I say, if you could see what I see when I look at you, will be so in love with yourself. Because isn't that true?
Yeah.
So when you fall in love with another person, there's that word fall again, that's where we started with this conversation.
When we orbit with another
person. You never fall.
Oh, well done, Beck.
Very good. Because when you fall anywhere, what do? You hurt yourself.
Yes.
So therefore, when you orbit in love, but out there in unconscious land, right, where people think that it's all about everybody else, you know, when they fall in love, yeah, and they get hurt, and what they, if only they realise that when they look into the eyes of another being, who are they really seeing?
They're
seeing themselves. And that's the love, you know. And so when relationships start to fall down, which relationships do, I mean, all relationships, there's no relationship that starts off heaven and stays heaven for the rest of your life.
Isn't there, Diane?
No, I'm sorry, darling.
Really?
No, it's so sad.
Are you sure?
I am 100% positive, darling, after my years on this planet, I can tell you. You know, it's about the ups and the downs and the, you know, the ins and the outs and the dramas and the joys and everything else that goes with it. And we expect that because we fall in love, it's going to stay the same. When you orbit in love and you're willing to do the work, and, you know, I mean, I'm married and our relationship is unbelievable. Most people say, I would love your relationship. You're so lucky. I'm not damn well lucky. I work on my relationship every day of the week.
It's like that famous pianist that somebody said to him, I'd love to be able to play the piano like you. And he said, no, madam, you'd like to be able to play the piano like me if it was easy.
Yes, exactly.
It's true though, isn't it? It is true. Actually, there was a gorgeous little saying on Facebook this morning I read, something along the lines of, I promise to, about a couple, and saying that I promise to help you to be the very best version of yourself you can be. And I thought, oh, I really liked that. I thought that was cute.
And that's very true, isn't it? Because that's all you
can do. That mirror thing, isn't it? If we're going to look in each other's eyes, we're going to see what triggers us, what buttons are being pressed. We're going to grow from that with love and acceptance and kindness. And,
you know, we need the emotional skills to be able to deal with it. Instead of if you upset me and me going, well, I'm out of here, you know. Or men understanding that when women have babies, women go to a different place. Sex is not exactly high on their agenda when they're nursing a baby and they're exhausted and they're tired and, you know. It's
totally like, the bottom of the list.
Absolutely, absolutely. But nobody understands that. People are not taught that. People are taught fireworks go off when you fall in love and you start, and their fireworks go off forever, and when they stop going off, it's time to move on. Move on to what? Move on to create the same pattern that you have with this person with somebody else? Are you serious? You know, like the rate of people who go back with people who are similar, so say for instance alcoholics, if you had a parent who was an alcoholic and you're running the law of attraction and you create an alcoholic in your life and you leave, 86% of people then get in another relationship with someone who does the same thing.
Of course they do.
And that doesn't matter whether it's alcoholism, whether it's ignoring you, whether it's... It doesn't matter, you know.
Do you find, though, that if the people have acknowledged that pattern, received the gifts from the relationships that they've had with people with alcoholism, that they then choose a new experience with a different person, or do you find that that pattern is still going to be repeated?
I think that until you actually break the pattern. And the pattern, you know, because, and, you know, if you understand the lifeline technique, it talks about how, well, no, never mind the lifeline technique. Now we know that 2 to 10% of the mind is conscious. The other 90 to 98% is unconscious. So how are we living our lives? You know, we're not living our lives consciously. So what we have to do is we have to bridge that gap between what, how we're consciously living and how subconsciously we are doing our life. Because pretty much we're going to keep pulling in those patterns until we actually do something to change the pattern. And consciously wanting to know that or consciously wanting to do it is not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
So Diane just referenced the Lifeline Technique, which we are hoping in coming weeks we're talking to Dr. Darren Wiesman, who's the founder of the Lifeline Technique. But Diane is also a practitioner. Is that the correct title?
Certified Lifeline Practitioner.
Yeah. And it's a method that, I hope I'm not simplifying this too much, but my understanding is it's a method that helps you to get into the subconscious mind to actually bring out stuff stuff that we don't know so that we can know and change
the patterns.
It's a beautiful technique. It just doesn't require
anything.
Any emotional investment. You just turn up and with muscle testing and all these sorts of interesting things. Great technique. But we deviate from Goddess. But I was also hoping, Diane, we could touch on your amazing work that you're doing with men. Man's Inner Journey.
What do women need to know about men, Diane?
They need to know they're not women with trousers. That's what they need to know. Women, you know.
Love that.
Well, it's true.
It's true.
What are they then, Diane?
Men are gorgeous, gorgeous, wonderful, amazing beings of light who have it tougher than women do. Women have each other.
Mm.
You know, if you two are friends and you're in an upset, you will ring each other and you'll go, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, thanks to the full moon, we just did that.
Yeah. And you'll go, oh, and you'll feel better.
Mm.
With a man doesn't function like that. And we need to understand the differences because the differences are absolutely huge. Men are hunters and gatherers. Men thrive on acknowledgement. Women do a lot of nagging.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And men control with money, women control with sex.
Yes.
We need to stop playing games. The truth is, you know, for most people who are grown up, they're not really grown up. They might look grown up. You might look 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. But, you know, when they go and get stuff, they turn into 2-3-year-old toddlers who are like throwing a temper tantrum. It's just unbelievable. And men don't have men. I'm not saying all men. But the majority of men do not have close friends that they can intimately relate to and say, you know what, I am in a lot of pain.
Is that something men want and need?
I think it is.
Well, this is why I've always felt so excited to be able to recommend Diane's course for men.
Yeah.
Because I feel men really don't.
They do need it. But what about the whole cave concept, that they can get the same effect by going into their own place of self-reflection and hermitage?
I don't believe anyone can really do that. I think that they can. But in actual fact, when they're put in a position where they're actually exposed to other men who feel the same, because guys are more about, you know, let me prove myself sexually, financially, you know, emotions. You know, like on our brochure, I think we have a saying, one guy says, feelings? What are feelings? You know, I'm a truck driver. I drive 6 days a week, 18 hours a day. Who's got time to feel? And that's where men come from, you know. Men have never been given the opportunity, A, to cry, because they've always been taught, be strong, be tough, you know.
Man up.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And so women expect men to be girlfriends in skirts when they need it. And the truth is, men are never going to do that, you know. Men will find you a solution, which, of course, we don't want.
No, that's right.
We just want them to go, Robert and I do this great skit, you know, and I go off my tree and pretend that I'm going to cry. And he goes, well, you know, if you hate your job so much, why don't you leave? And I say something like, it's not about me leaving my job. It's about you hearing what I'm really saying. And he goes, I am hearing you, otherwise I wouldn't be answering you. So there's this entire... you know, that entire miscommunication. And the only way that we, I think, are going to get on the same plane is by sitting down, looking at each other in the eyes, breathing, which brings us to Tantra, of course,
mm-hmm.
and actually communicating and having a man hear the words from a woman, but also having us hear what they have to say. Because the truth is, you know, there's a brilliant doctor. I think he calls himself doctor, but he's black and he's short and he is the funniest man who talks about relationships. And he has these two brains on the stage. And on one of them, he goes up to it and he says, this is the man's brain, you know, and it's got all these little boxes in it, and you pull out a box, and this is the box about fishing, and you close the box up again, and they've got a nothing box, which we don't have a nothing box.
No, we don't.
And he says the trouble with women is they want to get into the man's nothing box, and they want to decorate it, and put wallpaper and put a lounge suite in there. Men don't want you in their nothing box, for God's sake, you know.
What's it for?
It's for nothing. These are the men who sit, and they get their little... they get their little remote and they just sit there, and we say, what are you doing? And they go, nothing. We go, how can you be doing nothing? And they go, you're just doing nothing.
The woman's brain has all the drawers open at the same time?
And then you go to the woman's brain, right?
Right.
And the woman's brain is like a million steroids all going off at the same time with fireworks, and you see all these lights and electricity coming out of every... There are no boxes in a woman's brain. You talk to me about mothers and it makes me think about babies, and then babies make me think about nappies, and nappies make me think about the planet, because why do we use them? And then when I think about the planet, I think about the people on the planet, and how sad is it that there are people who've got no food? And that brings me to thinking about aspartame, and I've just done this complete circle in 1 second.
I love it.
And so that's how we think, and we have never been taught how to actually understand how another person does think, you know. So, and there's some fantastic books out there, you know, and lots of education out there. There's a really amazing woman who I absolutely adore. Her name is Alison Armstrong. She's an American. I thought I'd bring her to Australia, but I'm over bringing people to Australia, to be honest. But she is remarkable. And she talks about men and women. She's written a book called The Keys to the Kingdom. Definitely worth getting.
Ooh, this one. New reading.
It's very good, because she talks about the five stages of men and how men start off as, you know, little, when they're little, and they're just playing and they're so reckless, you know, like skateboarding and all of that kind of stuff. And then they grow a little bit more and they become the knight. And off they go to slay the dragon. And for them, it's like drugs, sex and rock and roll in that age period of their life. You know, they don't care who they make love to. They just want to make love. It's, you know, sex. Yeah. So then they grow into the prince stage. And there's three prince stages. And each prince stage is different. And eventually they grow into a king. And while a man is still in a prince stage, he's going to be irresponsible. And he's going to want to go and hang out with his mates in the pub, even though he's got a wife and three small kids at home, because that's just where he is.
Mm.
But while he's a prince, we can mould them. Sorry, guys, if you're listening to this, I know you don't like being moulded, but, you know, if you have a relationship that really works, you can work together to see how it's going to work, because once your man becomes a king, which older men do eventually become, believe it or not, they're the ones who've built... You know, they've built their kingdom and now they can sit back. They will give you anything that you want, but you can't change them.
Right.
Mm. Right?
Okay, so I better get into this course pretty quick.
It's very good. I have a friend flying off to the States to do it this weekend, actually, because I talked to her about it. She really wanted to be able to understand men. And I think instead of making each other wrong, let's go for understanding. And she teaches courses for women and she teaches courses for men. And I think they're very different to what we're doing. But so important to understand what drives us, you know, because we all have drivers. You know, mine is peace. If you tell me that by eating this book here, I'm going to create peace on the planet, I'll eat the book, you know. It's like, it's that simple. I will do whatever it takes, because that's been my vision since I was five.
Diane, what is the most important thing that you've learned on your journey so far?
Oh, my goodness, the most important
thing. Am I allowed to drop your age?
Small little, yeah. Well,
Diane is 70.
No, I'm not 70 yet, but I'm heading towards 70.
Heading towards 70, the big 70.
And fabulous.
Thank you.
What have you learned? What can you tell us? What can you enlighten us all with after all these decades of your own self-help, other people's self-help? You know, what does all that wisdom amount to, really? What is it?
Well, it amounts to loving who you are, no matter what you think you look like or what you think you should be. It amounts to keep trusting, you know, like don't get caught up in the judgments of what you think other people say. I had a brilliant teacher who taught me three things. He said, make no comparisons. Delete the need to understand why things happen, because they just do. So delete the need to understand. And basically that's how I live my life. I do not judge. You know, I rarely catch myself judging. I know that my life is a journey, that I am a soul and that I have been here many times before. And everything that happens, I look at it and see it as a gift, because at the end of whatever it is, there's a lesson in it for me and a gift in it for me. And that's how I look at my life, to love, to trust, And to know that one day in my lifetime I am going to see world peace, because in the end we are all beautiful, amazing beings, and anything other than love is a cry for help.
Oh my God, we'll end it on that
note.
What
a way to end.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your wisdom and presence today, Diane. Jane?
I honour and love the goddess within.
And I'm going to add, and you, Diane McCann.
If you want to find out anything more about Diane McCann, you can go to
www.beyondtheordinary.net.au.
Beyond the Ordinary.
We'll put that up on our Facebook page as well, which is facebook.com/lovelifeshow, all one word. Until next week.
Have a lovely, lovely time, and please integrate everything Diana said. If you need to listen to the episode again, listen to it twice or three times. Marinate it, sleep on it, apply it. Love yourself. Till next week. Farewell.
Bye.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.